Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, John Grinspan's The Age of Acrimony, How Americans Fought to Fix Their Democracy. 1865-1915 is a work of American political history that examines the turbulent decades after the Civil War and before the modern reform era fully took shape. Drawing on figures such as William Kelly and Florence Kelly, Grinspan shows how public life in this period was defined by fierce partisanship, electoral combat, corruption, repression, and violence, but also by reform efforts that tried to reshape democratic practice. Rather than treating late 19th century politics as a simple prelude to progress, the book argues that the era itself was central to understanding how American democracy changed. Its purpose is both historical and interpretive, to correct nostalgic views of the past and to explain how the more restrained political culture of the 20th century emerged from a much louder and more confrontational one. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a post-Civil War democracy defined by conflict rather than civic calm. The book's central historical claim is that American politics from 1865 to 1915 was far more combative than later generations often imagine. Grinspan presents elections, party organization, and public debate as noisy, highly emotional, and frequently violent, with politics functioning as a mass spectacle rather than a quiet administrative process. This matters because it overturns the assumption that modern polarization is uniquely destabilizing. Instead, the book shows that the United States spent decades in a political environment shaped by open hostility, intense loyalty, and frequent disorder. That context helps explain why reformers believe the system itself needed fixing. Grinspan does not present conflict as an unfortunate side note. He treats it as the normal operating condition of democracy in this period. By doing so, he reframes the Gilded Age and Progressive Era as connected phases in a longer struggle over what democratic participation should look like and who it should include. Secondly, the Kelly family as a lens for broad political transformation, rather than writing an abstract survey. Grinspan uses William Kelly and Florence Kelly to anchor the narrative in human experience. William Kelly, a radical Republican congressman, represents the world of post-war party politics, while Florence Kelly, later a prominent reformer and socialist activist, embodies the evolving language of social justice and reform. Their relationship gives the book continuity across a half-century of change, but it also serves a larger analytical purpose. Through their lives, the reader sees how political values shifted from militant partisanship toward reform-minded activism and professionalized advocacy. This family-centered approach makes the book more concrete without reducing the history to biography. The Kellys are not simply characters. They are a way of tracing larger changes in American civic life, including how reform movements learn to work inside and outside party structures. The method can feel narrow at times, but it is also what makes the book distinctive and readable. Thirdly, how corruption, suppression, and violence shaped the limits of democracy. Grinspan emphasizes that late 19th century democracy was not only acrimonious, but also deeply exclusionary. The political system was shaped by voter suppression. Racial discrimination, gender inequality, machine politics, and acts of intimidation that restricted meaningful participation for many Americans. This is important because the book does not romanticize mass politics, simply because it was energetic and participatory for some groups. Instead, it shows that the same system that energized voters also excluded Black citizens, women, and others from full political power. That tension gives the book its moral and historical force. The argument is not that earlier politics were better, but that democratic struggle was entangled with injustice from the start. By placing corruption and repression at the center of the story, Grinspan shows that reform was necessary not just to clean up elections, but to broaden and stabilize participation. The book therefore treats democracy as a contested institution whose boundaries were constantly being fought over. Fourthly, the rise of reform politics and the making of a cleaner public sphere. One of the book's most important arguments is that around 1900, American politics began to shift from a public, partisan, confrontational system into a more private and restrained one. Grinspan links this transition to the rise of progressive-era reforms, including child labor laws and pure food legislation. The book suggests that these reforms became possible partly because politics moved away from the open street-level combat of earlier decades and toward more organized, professional, and less theatrical modes of influence. This is a subtle argument because it does not simply praise reform. Instead, it shows that making democracy cleaner often meant making it less participatory and less visibly passionate. Grinspan uses this tension to question easy assumptions about civility and improvement. The public sphere became more orderly, but that order also changed who could shape politics and how political energy was expressed. The book is strongest when it shows reform as both a moral advance and a democratic trade-off. Lastly, a corrective to modern myths about political normalcy. The book's broader significance lies in its challenge to the idea that restrained, civil, 20th century politics represent the normal or natural form of American democracy. Greenspan argues that such expectations were historically unusual and emerged only after decades of upheaval. This makes the book especially relevant for readers trying to understand present-day polarization, because it places contemporary anxiety inside a much longer historical pattern. The lesson is not that current problems are unimportant, but that American democracy has repeatedly been remade under conditions of conflict. Greenspan's interpretation also resists conspiratorial explanations of history by focusing on broad social changes such as industrialization, urbanization, migration, labor conflict, and racial backlash. That wider lens gives the book explanatory depth. It is less a story of a few villains than of a political culture under pressure. This approach helps readers understand how democracies evolve, and why stability often emerges only after prolonged disorder and compromise. In conclusion, The Age of Acrimony is best suited for readers interested in American history, political development, the Gilded Age, and the roots of modern democratic conflict. It will also appeal to readers who want a history book that speaks indirectly to contemporary politics without reducing the past to a simple analogy. Its practical value lies in showing that political violence, partisan hostility, and institutional distrust are not new American problems. While its intellectual value comes from explaining how reform, exclusion, and democratization developed together, what distinguishes it from many other books in the field is its combination of vivid narrative, family-centered storytelling, and a large historical argument about how democracy became more restrained in the 20th century. Rather than treating civility as the natural endpoint of progress, Greenspan shows that it was a historical construction produced by conflict, reform, and compromise. That makes the book both a corrective to nostalgia and a useful study of how democratic systems change under pressure. If you would like to support John Greenspan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.